Hello and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Our expert panel includes Mark Knauer from North Carolina State Extension and PIC's Ning Lu and Sergio Canabate with a timely discussion on body condition. You'll hear tips, techniques, and the cost impact for poorly managing this important component in your operation.
Mark Knauer, Swine Extension Specialist, North Carolina State University.
Hi, Ning Lu, Swine Nutritionist in PIC.
I'm Sergio Canabate, PIC Technical Service.
Mark, as an extension swine specialist, how do you communicate body condition evaluation skills and their importance?
So, Ned, as our industry has evolved, we got a lot of people that grew up not growing up on a farm and may not have the stockmanship skills that workers 20, 30, 40 years ago may have had. So anytime we can use objective measures to quantify different things in the farm, that's a good thing. And so when I'm talking with producers, you see a wide range out there as far as how well producers are able to manage body condition. And so by moving to objective methods, whether it be ultrasound back fat or a caliper score, something along those lines, helps take the argument out of visual body condition scoring. If a farm is doing a good job with visual body condition score, visual body condition score is just fine. But if a farm is off, if they're over conditioned, they're leaving a lot of money on the table, upwards of potentially $30 per sow per year, which equates to about a dollar per pig per year.
And unfortunately, there are a few farms like that, right?
As you at PIC look at this, we have, of course, a guideline. We know that these are the goals we want to work toward in body conditioning. What are some of the challenges that you run into on farm as far as making sure that either these goals are communicated or that they're understood and followed?
When I talk to some people working in the barn about how they feed the cells, I think it's kind of like human sympathy stuff. They feel like guilty if they did not give the sow more, or they feel better if they give sow more than they give the sow less. At least two or three different people working in the barn say the similar things. They just cannot do that, just let the sow or guilt get starved, get hungry like that.
Ning is absolutely right. Probably they can make a good assessment, a good feeder adjustment, but then day by day, they are increasing a little bit more the amount. But again, if there is not a structure on the assessment and to look at that animal and 30 days later to see if it's getting fat, right, it is dangerous. And that happens more often than we do believe. People trying to feed more to the animal because of that. They feel guilty if they are limiting a little bit the feed intake in gestation.
Yeah, as nutritionists in PIC, right now we are trying to promote our latest feeding program for the gestating cells that's just feed the gestating cell based on their body condition. The reason we are updating that is because in our customers we found they are way more over-conditioned cells. That cells will very likely destroy the genetic potential of our cells in production and could not make our customers to get the most of from our genetics. And in our past feeding program, we suggested to like for sows, we use 30 days, the first feed more, a little bit more diet for the first 30 days, and then keep flat feeding. And then for the gilts, we suggest to bump feed them at the last phase of gestation. But for the latest one, we are trying to use flat feed for both sows and gilts, but on one condition, just adjustments the feed amount, feed allowance based on their body condition. If they are really thin at the beginning, then you can just add more feed for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then do periodically body condition check to confirm whether the cells get back to the right condition, and then keep it flat.
Is that been driven by genetics, this change, or is it really a different view of managing the longevity of those sows?
Well, genetics has been a big driver, because we can say today that today's sow is not our father's sow. It's different. It's more prolific. They are weaning more pigs, heavier pigs, and they have to stay in lactation for a longer period of time compared than 5 years or 10 years ago. So the lactation challenge are bigger today than before. It's for that reason that body condition management is a key area, it's a strategic area in today's sow production. But I think that the industry as a general, they are making a better job today, but there's still room for improvement. I really believe that. And I think that we need to start believing on the quality of the sow. Quality of the sow are breeding, or quality of female are breeding, quality of female are farrowing. And part of that is not a philosophical conversation, because we want to talk about some attributes. And one of the attributes is body condition. And we know that under-conditioned sows, over-conditioned sows, they don't do well. They don't perform well. We know that. So we need to make an effort as an industry to help producers to work with a higher number of ideal body condition sows, right? Ideally at 90% ideal body condition at 90 days of gestation, right?
So Ning, it sounds to me like the body condition concern is all at the nutritionist's feet. How much feed you feed them. Is that correct or no?
I think it's a combination of nutrition and management.
Okay.
Because all those sow farms, there's one very simple mistake is that the drop box did not drop what they are said to drop. So that creates a lot of obstacle to achieve the ideal body condition. And of course, periodic monitoring and adjust the feed amount is also another key to keep the cell condition, body condition in the right place.
Yeah.
Mark, you have experience again in working with producers from the position of, well, we know what we should be doing, and yet we're not doing that. Is that a lack of education or a lack of information coming back? I think Ning's got a great point on the drop boxes. Are they dropping what we think they're dropping? Have we ever measured them, or did we just figure they were calibrated at the factory and they will always be? Are the producers not aware of the information, or are they just not getting good information back from the farm where, you know, I think I'm giving her 4 pounds a day, but come to find out I measured it and it was 6.5.
Until recently, it's been challenging to objectively quantify sow body condition. And by quantifying sow body condition, that really allows you to know if you're over or under feeding in gestation. With farms being short on labor, we need easy feeding programs. So putting into place an easy feeding program, such as keeping the sow at the same feed level, increasing feed or decreasing feed, just making these feeding programs simple for producers will allow them to best utilize the labor. So I think it's a combination. It's the execution part, but then it's also, I'm not sure farms have sat down and penciled out if they have a fat sow herd, just how much that's costing them. Some of our initial data, we went within the same production system. They had the same genetics, same facilities. Feed came from the same feed mill. And two sow farms within the same production system had a $30 difference per sow per year just based on they were overfeeding sows, which was causing them high feed costs and lower reproductive throughput.
And we are seeing that difference across the globe. Yeah, we even a huge variation between customer and within the same company, as Mark was pointing out. I think that the execution is the key. but also is to have a plan in place. So from the management standpoint, when we talk about body condition management plan, I will say that I would like to consider seven different areas. The first one is the breathing choices or sound quality of breathing. In some point, we need to take the decision if we are going to breed really poor body condition females. The breeder need to take that decision. We need to avoid that. The same happened in the opposite side when we want to breed a parity 7 or older fat animal found nib at the end of gestation. This is not helping at all to the body condition distribution of the herd. The second part to make things easier, as Mark mentioned, is try to put all the thin animals and parity ones wean together in the same breeding area. That is going to facilitate a lot people to feed them more proactively and those animals to eat with less competition and feeling more comfortable rather than being placed in between heavy sows, right? Having a fat sow, thin sow, fat sow. That is is more common that we see when we are visiting farms, you know, look at these kind of scenarios. Then is body condition assessment. Mark and team, they did a great contribution with Caliper because we are having an objective conversation about Caliper, how Caliper could help farms even with low labor to do it right, because it takes a lot of time to train people to do visual assessment. And sometimes when we are coming back to that farm, the person that we train is not there. And also it's hard to change people's mind, right? So Caliper is adding objectivity to the discussion, which is great. That execution, I do believe that need to be done by two people. One person in the back of the sow executing body conditioning assessment, and the other person close to the feed boxes to do the feed boxes adjustment. The other was the feed boxes calibration, because we need to make sure if we do believe that we are feeding them 5 pounds, the calibration of the number of the feeder are providing 5 pounds. And then we need to manage gestation and lactation feed intakes. We need to link that information, body condition management, on what is the average of lactation, gestation, feed intake during the last year by quarter, for example. We need to link that information because at the end of the day, as in some trial that Mark did in North Carolina, other trial that we are having here in our customers, in a fat herd, when it's well addressed by body conditioning, we can see how gestation feed intake over time goes down and lactation feed intake goes up. So we are expecting, because of that, having a better reproductive performance in the subsequent cycle.
How does the nutritional makeup of the feed, how does how we're feeding them fit into that? And I think of Mark's comment that, you know, it needs to be one we can execute on. We don't need something with a change every 3 days. We need something that can be executed on. And yet, we know that at different times in the cycle, that animal's energy needs change. So how does nutrition fit into that? Can you manage the nutritional intake of that animal in a way that allows them to be more prepared for the farrowing event? Is there something that we can do different, something we should do different, something we're doing different than we have in the last few years?
I think Sergio made a great point about it's all about getting that sow set up for lactation, that she's not overfat. Because if she's overfat going into lactation, she's not going to eat. And so where does that start? That starts way back in the previous lactation. So as Sergio mentioned, you want to go through at weaning and put those sows into gestation based on body condition. How's your thin ones together? Within a week's group, how's your thin ones together, the ideals together, and the fat sows together? That way, you don't put a thin sow between two fat sows. And if you've ever watched sows eating in gestation, you can see the fat ones are going to steal from the thin ones. So by placing them just into gestation based on body condition, it'll allow you to get your thin ones fed up keep your fat ones from getting any fatter, and keep your ideals where they're at. So if you measure them at weaning, usually by about 30 days, you should be able to get those thin sows into ideal condition. So if you measure them at weaning, day 30, probably day 60 when you're starting out, as you get good, you might not have to measure them at day 60 of gestation. And then going in day 90 or 100 of gestation and increasing the feeding level on only the thin sows. You don't need to give more feed to the sows that are ideal or fat condition because there's no data to support that helps, to say that helps subsequent reproductive performance.
Just follow what Dr. Knarts just mentioned. In terms of nutrition, what we want to provide to the sow depends on what they are needing. If the requirement or the maintenance requirement of the energy is decreasing and we are still using the same amount of energy or diet to feed the sows, they are very likely to be overconditioned as what we have seen today. So I think we also need to update those equations or those requirements if we can confirm they are really, they have really been changed over the time.
Yeah. Take me on a walk for a moment, the body conditioning scores and managing that, especially in a gestation house. What are elements that you want to keep an eye on? I mean, you're looking at the pigs every day. Are we just evaluating visually their body condition, or are we using calipers, or, you know, how does that look in real life in a gestation
bar? Well, caliper is getting more popular over time. I think that producers realize the value of caliper, and they start using it more often. Even there are other producers using visual assessment, and they are doing right. I think that it's more relevant how we use that information. It's just or not only the assessment. For example, if we do the body condition assessment at weaning, and we are linking to that assessment, and probably we have 30% of the animals in the thin side of body condition, plus half a day more wean to service interval, that means that probably the reproductive challenge that the producer may could face is related to a lactation intake opportunity. So it's because sometimes people that just do the assessment to do it because someone was telling them to do it, but they are not using that information, right? Just to take conclusion and say, oh, well, probably I'm having troubles to getting sows to eat more in lactation, and probably need to look at like my lactation feed intake first to fix my thin sows at weaning and my reproductive performance. So, but coming to your questions, both visual and caliper getting more popular. But at the end of the day, is to get it done, no matter how. Is to get it done. At Mark would say, at weaning 30 days, if possible 60, if not at 90 days. Consistency, get it done. And even if people are doing visual, but the sow herd tend to be fat because of the evaluator, that's fine. We can make mistakes. We can try to address, but we have a body condition assessment plan in place. This is the most important thing.
Joining us on The Squeal for this first episode of 2 on body condition was NC State's Extension Swine Specialist, Mark Knauer, and PIC's Ning Liu and Sergio Canabate. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.